Welcome everyone, this is Rafael Hernandez and you are listening to Believe in Barcelona. So guys, apologies in advance, I really won't be able to record this session without the background noise. It's either I do record this podcast now or I likely won't be able to in the coming days. I've been stalling for a few days already due to the lack of finding a place without noise. So once again, a big thanks to BetOnline for making this podcast possible. By all means, guys, if you want to bet somewhere, just go and bet there. It's one of the best places to, well, bet. And it's my favorite betting house that I have been using for the past few months. So, okay, guys, we are in the middle of the international break. And first of all, I wanted to review the first three matches, and I was actually going to do it, but I decided against it because it's only been three matches. We really don't know how the team shape is going to be yet. Of course, we haven't had good performances at all, but I think it's really early for that. But yeah, it is too soon, and of course, the first three matches, I'm not talking about the results, we can overlook the results by now, I'm talking in terms of performance, then they weren't very reassuring. Against Getafe, honestly, Barca had one of its worst matches this year, and against Athletic Bilbao, it was always going to be a tough match, but it was still underwhelming. And the result against Real Sociedad was really misleading. I think it was a lot harder than the final result suggested. But aside from that, I want to wait a little bit more to discuss the first matches of the season. So the transfer window finally closed and we had a very hectic final day to our transfer window too, which is something that I really wasn't expecting. So what I'll be doing today is reviewing the transfers and our sales and the squad that we have for the upcoming season. And I must confess that I wasn't expecting a transfer window to be as successful as it was for us. So I'm sure that you're asking yourself, where is he seeing, why is he seeing this transfer window as successful? But it really was in terms of the wage bill. Barcelona's wage bill represented 110% of the whole club, of the whole turnover of the club. So it was absolutely massive and really worrying in the long term. So Laporta's main goal this window was basically to lower it. And he was actually really successful. He reduced it to almost 80% of the club's turnover. So it's a decrease of 30%. So yeah, it was absolutely massive. It's not ideal yet, especially considering that we still have many overpaid players at the club. I would say most of them, but it's the way to go. I would say that the moment that Barca gets to 60% of its turnover being used on the wage bill, that's when I'm calling it successful. And then we can start talking a little bit more about signings and the future of the club in terms of big names and all of that. But I think one thing was really clear by the end of this transfer window was that Laporta underestimated the size of the hole that the club was into in terms of finances, because we have seen the review. It was reviewed in the past 2 days that Laporta actually tried to bring Neymar to the club. Neymar was in his last year of his contract, and Hakuan, one of the most reliable Catalan radios when it comes to Barca, revealed that Neymar could have signed for Barca, but the Qataris basically deposited over 20 million euros on the player's father's account, and we all know how Neymar's father is, so it's always a matter of money. It always was going to be. But even if Neymar had accepted to return to Barca, we wouldn't have been able to do it. First of all, because the internal audits of the club was finished by the middle of July, by the middle to the end of July. And Laporta tried to bring Neymar before that. And second, because PSG was never going to sell Neymar back to us. That is absolutely impossible. We already saw the mess with Mbappe. Real Madrid actually offered them 200 million for Mbappe, and they basically turned it down. Because it's a matter of vanity for them. It's not a club. I said this before. The Qataris don't care about money. They have that in such an amount that is almost impossible for us to understand, but money is of no object for them. It's not going to make a difference if they have a billion more or less in their accounts, you know. And football still isn't at the point where there's transfers happening by half a billion. Maybe we will get there someday, but overall it wasn't going to happen. And it's clear that by Messi's exit too was really chaotic and really upsetting for all of us. But overall, Laporta underestimated the state of the club's finances, and we did it too. I said many times here that I expected things to be bad, but the final accounts were really beyond my wildest dreams. Almost 500 in losses, as I said in the last episode. So it was that serious. And I know that many people are still against Laporta, that he lied about keeping Messi. But he wanted to stay, Messi wanted to, but it was impossible. And remember that Messi couldn't have lowered his wages below 50% in signing a new contract, because there's a regulation in La Liga that stops clubs from doing that to avoid any kind of financial malfeasance. So basically the kind of thing that, okay, we are going to lower your salary by below 50% and pay you on the outside, something like that, you know. And I think it's a fair rule. I'm not against it, but it's a shame at the same time that it existed and stopped Messi from staying. But yeah, overall it was successful. There's no other way to go about it. And we have had reliable reports too over the past week that Barcelona won't be making any big signings or moves until 2033. So yeah, it's basically 2 years from now, but we have to endure, we have to understand the gravity of the situation. And one final thing before we start the review of the signings is the fact that Barca tried to sign Dani Olmo, but Leipzig declined. And it's obvious that Dani Olmo was willing to come to Barca. He is from La Masia, and he left from La Masia to Dinamo Zagreb a few years ago when he was signed by Leipzig for around 25 million euros. And it was rumored that Barca offered 75 million euros for the player, but that's literally impossible. The club does not have that money. So I don't believe in most of what we read about that offer from now. I would say that maybe one thing that I believe, that Barca offered to take Dani Olmo on loan and pay part of this fee in the next summer or in 2023. But overall, it's all very murky, very muddy. I really don't buy it, honestly. Beginning with the review of the sales. One sale that really surprised me was the Griezmann one. I was absolutely shocked by it. It happened in the final hours of the transfer window, but it was an absolute, it was our biggest win of the transfer window, make no mistake. Okay, we take a loss in terms of amortization. No, not really, because he will be on loan at Atletico for 2 years. So the big transfer fee of 120 million will be spread still over 4 years of his contract instead of five. So it's a lot less money in the wage bill. And let us not forget that Griezmann was earning over 40 million euros too. So he was the most overpaid player in the world, and he accepted to go back to Atletico. So it's a big win. And of course, Atletico waited for us to be in the worst situation possible to bring Griezmann back. Yes, absolutely. But Laporta still managed to get a 40 million fee to be played to be paid after the 2 year loan is paid. So this is really important too. It was a big win, and this is what most people that don't support Barca or don't read enough about the club don't understand. We always knew that Griezmann was a poor signing. He was never going to work out. His contract was absolutely overbloated and absolute disgraced by Bartomeu, but we had to take our losses and move on. We cannot simply keep insisting on players that really should have left long ago. And of course, I extend that to Dembele. There are rumors that Barca wants to renew Dembele's contract, which is something that I don't understand, because he is entering the final years of his contract. He has only been injured, I would say, 70 or 60% of all the time that he's been at the club. He hasn't performed consistently, so it doesn't make any sense. One thing that I would be in agreement is you renew Dembele for another 4 or 5 years with lower wages and sell him somewhere to 40 or 50 million euros. Then you would basically cover the rest of his transfer fees and keep recouping money. That is something that I could strongly agree. But keeping him at the club, it's something that I just cannot agree. He will never live up to the potential that we want him to. We have been deluding ourselves for far too long. This is done and dusted. We just have to cut our losses, just like the Griezmann sale, and move on. And one thing that I really didn't understand, why didn't Barca try to bring Saul on loan for the 5 million that Chelsea paid? I do not know, but I think it's a matter of Koeman not wanting the player. I think that's very possible, because Koeman wanted a central forward, and we had the Luke de Jong signing, which is something that I really disagree, just to say that in advance. But It's really a shame that we didn't get Saul. I really think that he could have been a really valuable player for us in the long term, really. And aside from the Griezmann sale, of course, the Emerson sale really caught me by surprise. But Tottenham just offered too much money. We couldn't turn it down. And it's a shame, because the player really wanted to succeed at Barca. He said it himself in the Instagram post that he said goodbye to the club. But it's the kind of sale that we are not in the strong position to turn it down. I think that he's going to be a good footballer for Tottenham. I'm not sure that he would have been successful at Barca, but I would have liked to try it to at least one or two seasons. It's a shame that we have to sell players like Emerson, and Sergio Roberto still refuses to leave, but yeah, it's part of the game. Another sale that surprised me was the Pjanic one. It was actually a loan to Besiktas, a Turkish club, and it really was a big surprise the way that Pjanic was really vocal about why he left the club. He said it himself that Koeman just wasn't willing to play him. And Koeman is like that. He simply has problems with players and he blindsides them. We saw what has happened with Puig and now Alex Collado from La Masia, from Barcelona B. And he basically decides that he doesn't want these players and he doesn't even give them a chance, which is very egoistical, very blind, very stubborn of him. As I said many times before, Koeman is not fit to be a coach of a top club. He's absolutely unfit to be in any kind of position to make difficult decisions. Maybe in the national team, where he's a lot more limited, he can be successful, as we saw it with the Netherlands. But overall, just an absolute embarrassment there. And The Trincon sale was really good. He was actually loaned to Wolverhampton, and they have a buy option of 25 million at the end of the season, but they're definitely going to buy the guy. He's already playing for Wolverhampton and impressing too. I would say maybe he wasn't Barcelona quality, but he has enough quality to be successful at Wolverhampton. And let us not forget that Wolverhampton is basically Jorge Mendes' club, so we have to thank Mendes for that. And the Firpo sale had me, okay, all of these sales basically had me surprised. I really didn't expect that we are going to make so many successful sales and loans. We really did it. Of course, I wanted to be better. I wanted Umtiti to be gone, Lenglet and Coutinho, but there's a limit to how much you can do, especially when the players are refusing to go. And the Junior Firpo sale to Leeds was an absolute masterclass, 15 million euro for a player that never really was fit for Barcelona. He never played well. He was always nervous on pitch. He was an absolute wreck. And the fact that he was able to sell him, that we were able to sell him with almost without taking losses from his initial transfer fee, was absolutely fantastic. And to cap things off, of course, it's the sale of Félix Moriba to Leipzig. Absolutely a fantastic sale. Over 16 million euros for a guy that is all about the money. Moriba and his intruders didn't care about anything but getting their pockets full of money. And maybe Leipzig will give them that. I do not know, and I really doubt it. But overall, I think that Moriba is going to, he left a lot of money in our coffers. That all it matters, because the guy is really ungrateful and he goes on social media and he pretends that he doesn't know what is happening on the behind the scenes, which just makes it more embarrassing for the guy. But one thing that many people don't know is that the same people that represent Moriba represented Max Meyer, that big talent from Schalke a few years ago. And where is Max Meyer right now? Honestly, I doubt that even the player knows where he is, because he simply fell. He fell off the map. And he is only 25 years old. I think it's likely that the same is going to happen with Moriba. And even if it doesn't, we already made money with his sale. We have to move on. Honestly, this saga really annoyed me, because it was almost 3 months of reports of about Moriba asking more money, Moriba with interest from Tottenham and all of that mess. And it was really unnecessary. I really didn't think it was a necessity to read about this, but the local media, the Catalan media, basically had next to nothing to write about, because Barca simply cannot make big moves, just sell. So they had to work with what they had. And of course, speaking of the new signings, Memphis Depay has had me really surprised in his first few matches for Barca. He's already acting as the leader of the attack and the leader of the entire team, and I'm really happy with that. If we didn't have Memphis, we would have lost against Athletic Bilbao and maybe lost against Getafe at the Camp Nou too, or maybe dropped points. But even he has, his evolution as a footballer has been amazing, because when he was at PSV in the Netherlands, he was a fantastic player, exactly the player that we are seeing right now at Barca. Then he made a poor choice in going to Manchester United, that was in ruins, and he was smart enough to leave at the right time to Lyon, a very well-structured club, where he was able to find himself again and play his best football. And he was rewarded by coming to Barca. And of course, I want to thank the player too for not accepting Juventus offer, which basically doubled the wages that we offered him, much like Ronaldo did by going to PSG. And he is leading us. I'm really happy with the guy, and to think that he's only 27 years old, we are going to have at least him for a good 4 to 5 years here. And it's a shame that we didn't see Messi playing with the guy, but we are going to be seeing Ansu with him soon, so there's a positive in that too. Speaking of Aguero, he's gotten injured again. Aguero always gets injured, seems nowadays. And I don't know if it's going to work out well for us or not signing, but he's only on a 2-year contract. We have basically no risk. We aren't losing much money by trying to bring a once great forward to play at the club. Maybe he will be successful alongside Ansu and Depay. I'm really hopeful of that, but who knows. Luke de Jong signing was basically something that Laporta decided to give Koeman, because he was asking for a center forward, and there was basically no risk alone that that we have absolutely no risk. We didn't pay anything for the guy, and a year from now, he's going to get back to Sevilla, and we are never going to hear about him again. I really don't think he's going to be successful. I doubt that he will even get to score 10 goals for us this season. And he's just the kind of signing that makes no sense. But Koemans asks and Laporta obliges. And so I think it's fair that when Luke de Jong doesn't work well at the end of the season, we can recall that this was Koeman's signing, not Laporta's. No risk at all. And Eric Garcia and Yusuf Demir are playing well. They played well during the preseason. Eric Garcia struggled against Athletic Bilbao because his grandfather had just died and he still wanted to play. But overall, I think that Eric Garcia is going to be a good signing for us in the long term. Not sure that he is Barcelona starting quality. I don't think he is. But he can be a good servant to the club in the long term. And of course, we have the La Masia kids too, Gavi and Nico, who can prove to be really valuable in the long run. I was surprised to see them against Getafe and how both of them coming on actually made that team better, which looks really good for our future. I want to see the kids playing this season because we are not going to get really far in terms of trophies. So the best thing that we can do is play the kids and hope that they can become great or reliable players for Barcelona in the long run. And I really have big expectations for Gavi and Nico. So to finish, I want to just comment a little bit about the squad, the players that Barcelona already had at the beginning of the window. So, of course, we have Piqué, who lowered his wages alongside Busquets and Alba, but actually they just deferred their wages, so basically they're going to get their money in a later date. So this is one thing that I really disagree, Piqué being praised as if he's a hero by deferring his wages. But it's not as simple like that. Piqué is a very smart footballer. He's a very smart politician. I think he's already making the moves to actually run and win to become the next Barcelona president after Laporta. But honestly, I have doubt that Piqué would be a good president for Barcelona. I think he's too much of an opportunity, when it comes to his businesses. We already have seen the mess that the Davis Cup actually turned into, where the fans and the tennis fans and the tennis players dislike Piqué for changing the format and everything. So yeah, it's a matter of just waiting and seeing. I don't think I need to say anything about that anymore. So Sergi Roberto, an absolute disgrace. He's actually refusing to even defer his wages. He refused a 2-year extension that the club presented him, and he's presenting a counteroffer saying that he has offered from other clubs. Honestly, if he has, by all means leave, but we know that he doesn't. Sergi Roberto is the kind of player that would be good for a mid-table La Liga club, not for a club that can actually go and pay even a third of the wages that we pay him. And we don't know for sure if Sergi Roberto is earning 10 or 13 million per year, but it's something. It's something of that amount. And that's absolutely ridiculous. He's nowhere worth that money. The guy is earning almost double that Rubén Dias earns at Manchester City. He's earning more than Virgil van Dijk after he renewed his contract in July with Liverpool. So honestly, Bartomeu is an absolute joke. It's hard to believe it. Lenglet, like Umtiti, should absolutely leave the club, but both refused to leave. Roma wanted to try Lenglet signing, but he refused. Umtiti is already earning 13 million a year for another 2 years, and he doesn't want to leave. He just wanted to get his money and leave. And honestly, I think he will always be the worst contract renewal in the club's history. It would take something really massive to happen for a worst contract renewal happens in our history. Just absolutely calamitous, and already attacked on TV enough. So Bryce White is a great servant to the club, but he's nowhere the starting quality. Barcelona just cannot afford to have a player like Bryce White in the starting 11. He can be a super sub or something like that, But that is all. He's a hard worker and everything. I respect the guy absolutely, but he's simply not good enough. We have to be honest. And Coutinho too. I think Coutinho is the last big problem that the club has. He's earning 25 million a year at the club, and we still have two more years in his contract. The guy was basically a year out due to injury, and Koeman says that he's going to play Coutinho, but I doubt, because you play Coutinho and the guy at Liverpool is going to get under 5 million soon, really. No, it's not the kind of Twitter rumor. It's actually, if Coutinho gets to play a few more matches, Liverpool gets under 5 million. Honestly, what a mess of a deal that was. And De Jong is our best player. Enough said, he's been great this season. He was great last season. I have absolutely nothing but positive things to say about De Jong. Same for Araujo and Mingueza. They are great. And of course, we have Neto, who is our backup goalkeeper that wasn't sold due to his high wages. Yeah, Neto earns 6 million per year. Honestly, who? Bartomeu. Okay, you already know what I'm going to say, so yeah, 6 million a year for a backup goalkeeper that never really did anything remarkable in his career, so yeah, awful. And to close things off, Pedri's renewal will be simple. I'm not worried, Pedri is going to renew soon, and he's 18 years old right now. Let's say he signs a 6-year contract, he's going to be only 24 years old when it's over. Man, the guy has the highest ceiling at the club right now. An absolute gem. And I cannot wait to see Pedri playing for us after he rested for 3 weeks. The guy really needed rest. He played almost 75 matches from August of 2020 to now. So yeah, absolutely busted. And Ansu Fati finally got the 10 shirt that once belonged to Messi, which made me very happy. I think that we have to give the La Masia players hope. And this is the kind of thing that really represents it. Ansu came out of La Masia. He surprised everyone, and now he gets the shirt that once belonged to Messi. I think it's proper. It doesn't put any pressure on Ansu. I think that it's clear by now that Ansu doesn't feel pressure by what he has shown in the performances in a Barcelona shirt. He already has a goal in a Clásico too. He's just an all-around fantastic footballer, and I really hope that he recovers his best after the surgeries, even though I have some doubts. And I think his renewal will be a little more difficult than Pedri's, because Jorge Mendes is his agent, and Mendes know that Ansu's value is massive. So, yeah. I have to be honest, I'm not certain that Ansu is going to stay in the long term at the club, especially knowing that Manchester United already tried to sign him a year ago. And offered over 100 million and the club declined. So yeah, this kind of thing really leaves me worried, but no harm worrying about this right now. Let's just hope Ansu's recover his best form, and then we worry about that later. So to cap things off, I really think that if we had a better coach, we would have been challenging for La Liga and the Spanish Cup. But we don't, and we have to accept that this season is going to be a season of transition. We need to be patient, and we know I'm not even certain that Koeman will be there by December. I think that he could be sacked. Koeman is absolutely limited. I really dislike him as a coach. I don't want to mix things up, because as a Barcelona legend, he was one of the best center backs in the history of the club, but as a coach he's simply too limited, and it's a shame that we had to keep him for another year, because he was demanding the 12 million of the remaining of his contract to leave, and of course we didn't have money at the time, so Laporta just had to cut our losses. So this transfer window was defined just like that, cutting our losses, and I think it was really successful in that regard. So it's a transfer window that leaves me with hope for the future. I think that Laporta can rebuild things, as I said before, and we can look forward to the future soon. So let's hope for the best, guys. And once again, a big thank you to BetOnline for making this podcast a reality. Thank you very much, guys, and see you on social media. See you soon.